One thing people definitely don't know about me is that before country music, before a lot of other music, for me, it was standards. So when I was a kid, I would go to sleep every night. I would turn on standards music. So like Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole, and I would just
Classics.
listen to it literally all night, every night. Welcome to another week of We Sound Crazy. Your boy Fillionaire is in the building in an undisclosed location in ATL, though. I'm here, though.
Claude Kelly is in the building.
What's up? Chuck Harmony is in the building.
Begging for Making is in the building.
Special guest, we got an amazing songwriter, artist, rising star in country music. Absolutely. He's killing it right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. Appreciate it, man.
My brother Tony Evans Jr. is in the building. Make some noise.
Hey.
Happy to be here, man. Appreciate it.
He's too cool for school, you know what I'm saying?
So are we in your hometown or are we in your place of residence?
Nah, man, my hometown. I was born in Decatur.
Oh, cool.
Grew up in Clayton County, Henry County area. And yeah, man. So.
But now you live.
I live in Nashville now.
Come on, see, Nashville doing things. It's some slang I know.
Yeah.
What's the biggest difference between, would you say, ATL and Nashville? Biggest difference?
The crime rate.
Plain and simple.
I mean,
one is safer than the other one?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Nashville's fun. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. Like you can just walk around and just do stuff. You know? Yeah.
Atlanta's, no worries.
No worries. Yeah. Atlanta's not like that. But Atlanta is like, Atlanta has a culture though. So it's a trade off. You know, Nashville don't have the culture like that. So
how often do you get back?
It's usually about once every 2 months, something like that. Sometimes more, sometimes less.
Okay.
So, yeah, my whole family's out here, so I try to find excuses to come out, you know?
Yeah, you gotta be closer to the fam.
Yeah.
Sure. I want to know musically, because I always, you know, with us being from Georgia, that everybody has their own take on how they experience the Georgia music scene, Atlanta in particular. What do you remember about growing up in Atlanta during your childhood? Musically,
baggy white tees, chains down to your waist with little spinners on them.
Yeah,
skating every day at Golden Glide.
Yeah,
that was the music scene. You know, T.I. and Gucci Mane and hip hop.
Are you old enough to remember the Social Def sign on 75?
For sure. Yeah. Okay, yeah, not. I mean. Barely, but
they took it down.
Yeah, I might have seen it one time.
Yeah, sure.
So how does someone who grew up in born and raised in Georgia, clearly engulfed with hip hop, become a rising star in country? Connect the dots.
Okay. The dots do connect, strangely though. So basically, when I was a kid, I started singing and playing guitar, and I had no clue what I wanted to do musically. I was just making stuff. I was just doing stuff, you know? And when I was around 12 years old, I was at a family reunion and singing songs for the family, you know, everybody just gathered around me. And after I finished singing, my family told me I was gonna be a country singer.
Mm. And, so they knew?
Yeah, they knew. They said immediately, like, you're a country singer. And I was like, no, I'm not. You know, I don't wanna be a country singer. Because the conversation we just had, I'm from Atlanta, and that wasn't cool growing up for me. You know, it was like I wanted to be something cooler.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have those role models that made country look cool. So, but my auntie Kathy, she was like, you say that now, but we're going to have this conversation in 10 years.
Wow.
We're going to see where you're at.
Well, auntie Kathy was right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, man. She was right. So that's how we got here, man. That's how we got here.
So how did you grow into the country space? Like after she said that, after you was like, nah, I'm not doing country music. What is it about country that led you into that space?
I think the main thing was the songwriting, because in music, as I learned artistry and learned my artistry, a big pillar of it was songwriting.
Mm.
And country is so heavy in that, you know, that's the whole culture in the country music industry is songwriting. Like, that's how people network. Like, if I meet you on the street, it's like, oh, you do music? Let's write.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how they network in country music. So it's like, it pulled me to it because I wanted to be a really good writer, you know? And obviously I loved it anyway because I was listening to country music when I said I didn't want to be a country singer. Mm. I love country music already. Mm. I just didn't want to be that, you know? Mm. But yeah, that's one of the main things was just the
country and R&B are so close though.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Like the storytelling, the drama of it all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Basically down on my knees, begging you please. The same thing. I mean, so it's really close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than people realize.
Definitely.
And there's been a whole shift now, I'd say in the last, how many years? Maybe 5 to 10 years max, where there's a new diversity happening in country music.
Yeah.
Obviously, for those of us who are in Nashville, we see it directly with a number of artists. But there's a lot of room for improvement. So I think there's like a lot of opportunity for new artists that are diversifying the genre and just showing what that looks differently than what we thought it looked like.
Yeah.
So have you found that it's been challenging being a black country artist thus far in Nashville? Or what's been your experience? Has it been awesome? Has it been challenging? A mixed bag?
It's interesting, man, because like, it's challenging being an artist in any industry,
period,
in any genre.
That's the real
so
topic.
I don't really look at it as being challenging. If it is, maybe somebody else will look at my situation and say, yeah, you're being challenged. But I don't really look at it like that. I just look at it as my path. Like, these are the things that I have to deal with. These are the battles that I have to fight, you know? So I don't really see it that way. I just do my thing.
I think by just being, though, you're definitely helping to break down barriers. So kudos to you.
I hope so.
When people see it, then they can realize they can also do it, and it opens doors for a lot of other people.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the main reasons I didn't want to be a country singer when I was a kid, because I didn't see it. I didn't know it at the time, but I didn't see, like, oh, that guy's cool. I want to be like him.
Yeah.
You know, that's how kids think.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that, you know.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So who did you want to be like growing up? Like, are there artists that...
Man,
you
know, I want to be Usher, man. I want to be Usher. I mean, not musically. I knew I wasn't him musically. Like I said, I was playing guitar.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So you never looked up to Bobby Valentino?
You know what?
Not that I remember.
Slow down.
Him, he's Georgia. Yeah. Slow down. That's what you did there. Slow down. Another Georgia great, right? I mean, Bobby V. Like,
he was everywhere when he
dropped. But no, sir. So Usher was one of your role models?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, Usher was the cool man. Well, he still is. But yeah, when I was a kid, man, Usher. And I love John Mayer. John Mayer was one of the bigger reasons I picked up the guitar in the first place.
Yeah.
So, like, my whole foundation, a lot of my foundation musically came from that guy.
Are you an avid?
Let's talk John Mayer. We can go.
Avid John Mayer fan.
I don't listen to a whole. I've listened to all of it so much that I'm kind of in a different space. But yes, to answer your question.
I'm gonna stand clear. I burn up in your atmosphere.
Okay, continuum. Or sob rock.
Why would you?
That's an evil question.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay. Sob rock is slept on, man.
Super slept on, man.
That was a fantastic record.
Great record.
See, that's the thing about John Mayer is that you can't do that with his albums. Like, they're all great. To me,
he doesn't have a bad album.
He does not have a bad album.
Not one bad album.
They're all great in their own way. And it's like, I love John Mayer because he's not afraid to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
All of his albums are different.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not answering that question.
See, it's continuum for me.
It's continuum.
I love Sot Rock, but Slow Dancing in the Burning Room, Gravity.
I mean, for sure. For sure.
It was continuum, but Sot Rock has been creeping up.
Mm.
And them songs, Shouldn't Matter But It Does.
Oh yeah.
All them songs.
Yeah. That made me cry the other day.
Yeah, John Mayer is one of the best artists of our time.
For sure.
Opinion. Songwriter too.
100%.
I understand why that would influence you to pick up the guitar.
Oh yeah. Now literally I taught myself guitar by learning his songs.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
You know. Interesting. So you asked what album, but I was gonna ask you today, because it probably changes, what's your favorite John Mayer song today? First one that comes to mind.
The first one that came to my mind was 3x5. Mm. 3x5 is so slept on to me.
Tony.
That song is incredible.
Okay.
You know you're John.
You're John.
Don't get it twisted, man. But 3x5, probably that's an all-time favorite of mine. I think I'd have to say Emoji of a Wave. It breaks my heart.
It breaks my heart. That whole album.
That album was insane.
That whole album, by the way.
And the way he released it.
In those pieces.
Yeah, that was genius, man.
Basically EP, like mixtape style. But really
are we the album. John Mayer fan club now?
We might be, because
definitely giving John Mayer.
Is that what this is right now?
I'm talking about Bobby Valentino. Y'all that's a hell of a transition.
All right, Phil, keep or kill Bobby Valentino or John Mayer? Exactly. Wow. Stuck. Who else would be someone that we'd be surprised, or that people would be surprised you were influenced by?
Oh man, probably everybody I listen to. One of my biggest influences ever is Teddy Pendergrass.
Mm. Teddy P.
Teddy P. Once I got to the stage where I was consciously trying to develop my artistry, he was the guiding light. You know, he was the guiding light. It was like, man, if I can get even close to what that guy did, if I could have the effect that he had on fans when he was on stage. Mm-hmm. He's nothing close to what I'm doing musically or performance wise, but like, he's just that guy.
No, he was packing out arenas and stadiums back in the
all ladies like, shows?
Yeah.
Ladies only
like,
shows.
Dude, like that's so player, man.
Super player. Like,
yeah, he's that guy. But
what's your favorite Teddy Pendergrass song?
I'm not gonna lie to you, the bass line on Love TKO is so tough. Like, there's just a feeling when that song comes on. I love Love TKO. Think I better let it go.
Looks like another Love TKO.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's it.
See how we all feel it. Like,
you better let it go.
Yeah, I love that one, man. But recently, man, one thing people definitely don't know about me is that before country music, before a lot of other music, for me, it was standards. Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, I would go to sleep. Every night I would turn on standards music. So like Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole, and I would just listen to it literally all night, every night. And then that was my favorite type of music. Mm. And so now I feel like my real guiding light of music is Nat King Cole.
Mm.
Like, wow. I feel like he's just the pinnacle of performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The pinnacle of an artist. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it gets better than that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Vocally.
Dude.
Musicianship.
He's what he played.
Yeah. Like, he's just full package artist. And it's interesting. It's fun watching him because him and I have a similar range vocally.
Mm.
So.
Baritone.
Yeah. So the notes that he's hitting, I can actually sing along with him, which is not common for me.
Yeah. I don't think they're too
with
high.
Artists, you know, a lot of people are singing higher than me, but it's like, that's my guy. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the same issue.
Do you?
Kendall?
Explain this issue, Phil.
Chuck,
you can't hear it?
I'm just listening. Okay, it's about Tony. It's not about me today. I'm just saying I can relate. It's
I agree.
He knows my struggle.
Yeah.
He said you know his struggle.
Exactly.
Yeah, he gets it, man.
Trying to find vocals that can keep up with your vocal prowess is what you're saying, Phil?
Yeah. No, this is, yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So what's your go-to Nat King Cole?
You move right along.
Song, album. Because I know he put out a lot of music.
A lot of great
music. I'll go song. I'll say Unforgettable.
Mm. Of course.
Unforgettable. Just the swagger, man. And for him, I tie his music to his live performance. Mm-hmm. So anytime I'm listening to that song, for the most part, I'm watching it perform it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, to get to the point where you can be that confident as an artist is insane. It's so difficult, man.
It is. It is.
Unforgettable. Though near or far.
I just want to understand, like, seriously, because was it your parents or other family members? Because listening to Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, and some of these greats, I mean, the music is iconic, but yeah. I don't get many people from your generation of artists like saying like they listening to other. They're not really doing their homework. So was it like, was that what was playing in your household? Because I know your dad was
my pops,
a singer as well.
Yeah, it's 100% my pops. Mm. So like, since he was an artist, you know, once I expressed interest in music and even before, my musical palette, like we were riding down the street, listening to Michael Jackson albums all the way through and listening to Earth, Wind & Fire and all types of jazz and all type of stuff. So I had access to complex music at a young age, and it just piqued my interest. And then I started doing my own, just finding.
That's so key, because there's this misconception that like kids should have, you should dumb it down for kids.
Mm. Yeah.
But they absorb whatever you give them.
Yeah, make it as complicated as possible.
Make it as complicated as possible.
At a young age, yeah.
Absorb anything that you hear, you'll take it in. Right. I mean, because for Nat King Cole, Earth, Wind, and Fire, that's all advanced music.
Mm-hmm.
To be like absorbing at whatever age in the car.
Right. Yeah, man. So.
Not Sexy Red, Phil.
No Rich Baby Daddy.
Mm. No.
There's definitely, like when I listen to your music, there's definitely some classic.
Yep.
Country music to it, which was surprising, because nowadays like everybody's trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
And so I appreciated the classicness, and now that you're telling me that you're listening to Ray and you're listening to all this classic music, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to reinvent the wheel with my music, but at the same time I do, but not for the sake of making it different.
Mm.
You know, I feel like a lot of people will try to make music different to say it's different.
Mm.
It's like, I want to make this as good as I can make it.
Mm.
But it's just headed in that direction instead of that direction, you know?
I understand.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned so far in this business?
Patience. Patience over everything, man. I've been doing this since I was 10. You know, I'm 20. I'm turning 26 next month. So, like, it's just that. You know, and
that never goes away. Like, you gotta be patient every step of the way. Like that part never gets easier.
Yeah, because when you rush, you make mistakes.
Right.
You know, and some mistakes in this industry you cannot take back.
Yeah.
So I'm probably the most patient artist you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
Honestly, like
baby steps all the way through.
Yeah, because the way I think about it is, I'd rather never make it than to make it the wrong way.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying?
That's profound.
I'd rather, like, there are other ways, especially if it's about money, there are other ways to make money, dude.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Easier ways to make money than music.
Way easier ways to make money.
You know, so
OnlyFans,
like,
being one.
See?
That's my OnlyFans. This is a real thing.
You said we like, stuck on OnlyFans?
He's a foot model on OnlyFans.
We've also discovered today.
I'm an aspiring foot model.
We also discovered right today that Chuck is aware of and is a fan of naked yoga on OnlyFans.
I was just guessing when I thought that it was naked yoga on OnlyFans. I don't know.
Guess.
Yeah, he was pretty confident in it.
My point being made. Now you're saying there's easier ways to make money.
Oh, yeah, man. Music is hard. well, being an artist, dude, it's hard. Like, because there's so much that's out of your control. Well, with the way that music is now, the industry is now, like a lot of it is out of your control.
Yeah.
And the game, at least my game, is getting as much of it in my control as I can. Mm. Like, it's a slippery slope though, because if you want to have your hands on everything, then you can't do it right. Mm. Because you can't do everything yourself.
You want to, okay, so now you're getting to the weeds of, the responsibilities of an artist, but also really the independent journey versus,
yeah,
I guess, a major label, mm-hmm. which is something that you've chosen to,
yeah.
Explain your journey, because every artist's journey is different, but you're an indie artist by design, by choice.
Yeah.
Why?
Ooh wee. I think for where I am now as an artist, a big thing is it's hard for me to trust that someone else sees my vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, enough for me to be able to put the responsibility of my masters in their hands, mm-hmm. and you know, the outcome, basically the outcome of my career in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really trust that a lot of people get where I want to go, you mm-hmm. know? So the answer to that is to do it myself,
mm-hmm.
you know? I'm not saying I would never sign, but it's just that it would have to be an ideal situation with people that I trust, you know? It had to be some really, really good conversations had for mm-hmm. me to sign to a label.
Understood.
You know, which is how it should be for anybody, though.
It should.
You should vet that process very carefully.
Right.
What's the biggest obstacle being an independent artist like you've experienced so far?
The easy answer is money. But I think it's deeper than that. I think it's specialization. That's something that I think about a lot.
Mm.
Like, as an independent artist, so like, I'm not just an artist. I'm the CEO of my business, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm shooting my videos, I'm doing the marketing, you know, I'm in the studio, I'm writing, I have to do the research on my demographic and, mm-hmm. and like I'm doing a lot of stuff, you know, assets, photos, videos, like it's a
all
lot.
Day.
Yeah, yep. So it's like, but you have to do that, but to what end? Mm-hmm. You know, so my goal is to do everything that I have to do right now to the best of my ability and as quickly as I can delegate.
Mm-hmm.
Delegate to people that can handle it for me, you know, so.
It's a full-time job and most of it is not doing the fun music creative part. It's the admin, it's the planning, it's the strategy.
Yeah, it's not fun, dude.
What is one thing you would say too? Because I mean, here in Atlanta, Nashville, there are so many people like yourself who are getting it out the mud, you know, independent, really trying to work it out. What is one thing you would tell them to kind of, like, one nugget you would give them as an indie artist yourself?
Like, stop complaining.
Mm.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to do it. Mm. You know, you're going to, like, if you don't do it, you will never get it. It's that simple.
That's simple.
I feel like a lot of artists think that they just deserve success.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I deserve it because I'm working for it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and like, be good at what you do.
Yeah.
Do your homework. You know, be really, really, really good and work really, really, really hard and work really, really, really smart. Like, it's everybody knows the answer.
Mm.
We just don't like to do it.
You don't like to do it. And there's something built into entertainment where, especially the more talented you are, or if people have told you you're talented, then you almost expect someone to show up and just roll out the red carpet for you. You're like, well, I can sing, or I'm good at this, so come and throw me the money, the opportunities. But that never really happens. You have to.
Nah.
It's hard work every single step until the end, really.
Yeah, and I think people look back at like the '60s and the '70s and the '80s and how like, oh, he was singing in front of a gas station and he was just the one.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, that's how it happened. You got discovered. But how often did that happen statistically?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how often were you found back then?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't look at the situation back then and be like, man, if this was the old days, I would. Yeah, they probably would have never heard you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
Now that we have, there's a trade-off for the fact that we have this, we can put a light on ourselves, but we got to do more work.
Mm-hmm. You got to be great.
You got to be great, and you got to work.
Is there an independent artist that you see their journey and you kind of get some inspiration from their journey?
Bad Bunny's independent, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know about his journey, but I know about where he's at.
So, absolutely.
I take inspiration from that.
Yeah.
He's killing.
Yeah. He's killing. Yeah, he's killing, man. And I want to do that.
Yeah. I want to get into this EP, the Starless EP, because mm-hmm. I've been able to really sit with it, and it's an amazing project. But there's a story behind how you were connected to some of the people that you're now involved with.
Hell yeah.
So you, Keisha Cole, discovered you online.
Yeah.
And then
that's how that happened?
Keisha Cole.
Yeah.
Can you tell the people that story?
All right. So this is how the story happened, man. I was living in my dad's house, mm-hmm. depressed. I had no fans. I had nothing going on. And I got sick of it. Mm-hmm. So I started making videos every single day. Kept making videos every single day. Posting. And my goal was I wanted to be the country artist that they posted on the Shade Room, all right? Because I had never seen it. You know, as far as I know, I'm the first one, but don't fact check me. but that was my goal. Mm-hmm. And I kept going. And one morning, I got a DM from the Shade Room, and they were like, can we post you? And I said, yes.
Like, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, and it's crazy that, you know, that was my goal and it happened. And at that point, obviously, we were aware of the effect that they have and the mm-hmm. pull that they have on the right. culture. So they posted me and I got 80,000 more followers in one day.
Mm. One day.
Just off
power
of that,
up Shade Room.
Off of that post, man. And shout out to the Shade Room, man. Shout out to
Jesus.
All crazy, of them over man. There, good people over there, man. But yeah, so basically, you know, I had a lot of people that reached out to me when that happened, and Keisha Cole was one of them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, I grew up mm-hmm. in my mama's backseat. Mm-hmm. What was on the radio was Keisha Cole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was Keisha Cole. So it was like, wow, you know. And she, you know, a lot of people reach out, but everybody doesn't like take initiative to really be serious. Some people just reach out. You know?
Right.
But she reached out, made other calls, started connecting dots, and eventually I ended up working with the man who produced the Starless EP, Ron Fair.
Ron Fair is a friend.
Legend.
Yeah, my guy. So.
And legend. Yeah.
Nah, for sure.
Ron Fair is going to make sure the music sounds. Yep.
Oh, it's yes. insane. I'm like,
agree.
But yeah. the vocals, yeah. it's insane
them
how
vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
Strings,
play.
All that kind of. He's, yeah.
One so how bad is in the studio? I mean, is he? Because he's clearly a perfectionist, but like,
you
what
have,
is that process
you
like?
Have
working
no
with Ron
clue.
Fair?
You have no clue. Ron is the definition of a perfectionist.
Yes.
He hates when people brag on him like this, but I'm gonna brag on
he
him.
Hates it.
He's a genius. Uh-huh. Okay. When we were producing the Starless EP, I still have a video on my phone of Ron in the studio with the headlamp on, writing out the string parts. Like just lean over the desk like he's working on a car.
It's crazy.
Old school style.
Yeah.
Writing them out.
Yeah, man. So, he doesn't let anything come out of the box that doesn't represent him or me.
He's one of the best. I actually met Ron by way of Keisha Cole when I placed Should Have Cheated on her first album. So that's how Ron and I connected. So full circle Keisha Cole moment.
Literally, Ron has had Keisha sounding like the best.
Yeah.
And Mary too.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. Be Without You, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Ron Fair production right there.
Sure is.
Yeah, you're rocking with the best.
No, for sure.
I remember Phil introducing me to Ron Fair.
Oh, he went by the studio,
yes.
right?
Yes. And he is such a wealth of knowledge. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm and lives in Nashville now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Used to be LA, but moved to Nashville a couple of years ago too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So I'm sure you're learning a lot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm learning just by being around the guy and it's funny because a lot of it is just like listen to him talk. Like he can tell stories that other people can't tell. You know?
Give us a crazy story. I know you got one. You're like,
he said, I can't.
I can't do it.
It's just being in a room with him. If we're ever in a room with him, like Phil knows, like it's just Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
He is you know, one of a kind, for sure.
For sure, yeah.
For sure.
One of the standout tracks for me is Need Somebody. Can you tell me about that one?
Need Somebody. It's so weird talking about my songs, man, because after I write them, it doesn't even feel like they're mine anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they can be mine. You can have a publishing company. I don't mind. I mean,
now that record feels so good, bro.
It does.
Need Somebody was just one of those songs that I don't write songs like that. That's the funny part. Like, I tend not to write songs with messages like everybody needs somebody. That's not my cup of tea, but it just came out. You know, I feel like I was in a place where being an independent artist, right? It's difficult. And you can only rely on yourself a lot of times. And in that process, I kind of got this, I acquired this lonesome warrior type attitude to where it was like, I don't need nobody. I'm doing this myself, you know? And yeah, I'm lonely, but I don't really care. And then I'm like, my grandmama still loves me. You know, like I could call my sister. I could value the people that care about me more. You know, and the song is a romantic song, but I feel like that's the way I really connect with it. It's like, it's okay to need somebody. You know, it's okay. Like, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So Tony, again, you write pretty much all of your music, which is incredible. So you respect the craft of songwriting. I want to hear from you, your Mount Rushmore of songwriters.
Good question.
I don't even know if I can answer that.
Well, let's try.
I can say one that I've been, that I've always had immense respect for is Jason Isbell.
Okay.
Jason Isbell. One of my favorite songwriter songs is called If We Were Vampires. Have you guys heard that? It is one of the most incredible, to me, one of the most incredible things that were ever written. Like, the fact that some songs, when you listen to them, it's like, how does somebody write this? That's one of those songs.
It's knowing that this can't go on forever. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone.
Another one is John Mayer, for sure. John Mayer, for sure. We talked about.
Don't be mad, Phil.
We got to go back to this conversation.
John Mayer,
for sure.
It's the poetry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's whose poetry speaks to you.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and think about that one.
Give me your Mount Rushmore of artists that have performed some of your favorite standards. So I'm imagining Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole is number one. Okay. For sure. He got his own mountain.
Okay.
Frank Sinatra, for sure. After that, I'll say Bing Crosby. I feel like I'm gonna miss somebody. I'll have three on my Mount Rushmore.
You gotta add. Come on, you can't only do three.
One more.
It's okay to miss somebody.
It's not. This video's forever. I don't.
This video's forever.
The hard part about me is I'm really going to think about this, and it might take 30 minutes. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. So
we got time.
We're good.
Michael Bublé is great.
Michael Bublé is dope.
Yeah, Michael Bublé
Bing,
is great.
Frank, Nat, and Michael
Bublé. That's a powerful.
That's formidable.
Yeah.
Very much.
I'll say.
Formidable,
I'll say
Bublé. If you will. We play a game here called Keep or Kill.
Oh, geez.
Okay.
I think, you know, it's kind of self-explanatory. We're going to throw two things, two artists, two opposing things at you. You tell us which one you're keeping.
Okay.
Your keep is basically the one that your favorite of the two.
Of the two.
Gotcha. Right.
Earth, Wind & Fire or the Isley Brothers?
I have to go Earth, Wind & Fire, but not happily. I'll say Earth, Wind & Fire.
He's pissed about this.
They had more influence on me growing up.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Your Body is a Wonderland or Why Georgia?
Why Georgia, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Bubblegum Tongue is great, but like, mm-hmm. yeah, Why Georgia, I'll say. Yeah.
Performing or recording?
Recording. Mm-hmm. I love recording. Mm-hmm. That's like my favorite part. Yeah.
Happy place.
Love recording. Recording's fun.
Frank or Nat?
Ooh. Nat.
Nat
for sure. I love Frank, but Nat's the guy, man.
You said you grew up riding in the car with your dad, listening to Michael Jackson. Off the Wall or Thriller?
Off the Wall.
Oh, very good.
Michael Jackson or Prince?
Michael Jackson.
Whitney Houston or Mariah Carey?
That's tough.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
It is.
I'll go Whitney.
Okay.
Georgia or Tennessee?
Georgia. Georgia.
Brandy or Jasmine Sullivan?
I'm taking Jasmine Sullivan, I think.
See, I know like Tony for a reason.
Hip hop or country?
That's a loaded question.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta ask some more information, man. Because I'm gonna answer honestly.
Answer honestly, like.
Like for listening or for like.
For listening.
If I could keep one.
Yeah.
Hip hop.
Okay.
Listening wise, if I could keep one hip hop.
Really?
Yeah.
You keep one for listening hip hop.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love hip hop. Mm-hmm. Love hip hop. Now performing and what I do is country.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? But hip hop, like
on a day to day,
life would be a lot different for me without hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's go ATL throwback, old school. T.I. or Jeezy? Keep it kill.
Gotta go Tip. Gotta go Tip.
See?
Playing guitar or singing?
Not gonna lie to you, I'm taking the guitar.
Really?
The guitar, wow. Yeah.
That's a shocker.
Yeah, because I can't like there's no jazz, just singing.
Mm.
There are no chords. Mm. Like that's the fun part of music. Mm. Singing one note is like that's like playing a recorder basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's basically what singing is, but like music is fun when you can play chords and stuff. So I'm taking guitar.
I agree.
Yeah.
So Def or La Face?
I don't know. I like this So Def logo. If we're going logos, I'm going So Def.
I think I choose that logo.
Yeah.
Let's go Usher or Chris Brown.
I'm going Usher for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm going Usher. They're like one and the same, just different generations almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he passed the torch.
Luke Combs or Morgan Wallen?
Luke Combs.
Mm. Luke Combs is cold.
Yeah, Luke Combs is that guy.
Yeah.
Modern country or old school country?
Old school.
Okay.
By far.
He didn't have the...
Yeah, nah.
Reba or Shania?
I'm going Reba.
Okay. Really?
I'm taking Reba.
Reebs. They say Reba is the white Mary J. Blige. They say she's the country Mary J. Blige.
Why?
They say she's the country MJB.
They've had the same hairstyle. They
have the same hairstyle the whole, you know. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Somebody put it together on Twitter.
I'll survive. You know what I'm saying?
I never knew.
I never knew.
We sound crazy.
As an artist, what are you looking forward to over the next 5 years? Like, what does that look like for you?
I'm looking forward to having no creative limits.
Mm.
No limits creatively, you know? Like, making as much music as I want to make. Because making music is expensive,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Definitely expensive.
Making as much music as I want to make, you know? If I want to put an 80-foot guitar on stage, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just like if I want to go like music videos and just having no limit to what I can create. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's going to be a cool place to be.
Are there any dream collaborations that you have in mind?
A lot of my dream collaborations aren't possible anymore. Mm-hmm. Like Nat King Cole. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, anything's possible with AI.
Anything's possible with AI.
See, I'm actually doing a duet with Luther coming up. Luther Vandross, so yeah. So,
really?
I am, yeah.
I need you to not do that.
What song you feel?
You know what?
I'll be I'm looking thinking out
for about. He's gonna be looking out
There's
for
There's nothing
that.
Better than love. You know,
I think I'm just so amazing over it. Yeah.
As an AI duet?
Yeah, as an AI duet. So Tony, we talked about, you know, Ron Fair, obviously one of your team members, but also your father, Tony Evans Sr., yeah. is also part of your management team. How is it working with your dad?
With Pops.
It is like working with my dad, which is great. And sometimes it's like working with my dad, you know? I love working with my dad. Mm. Wouldn't replace him ever. But it's working with my dad. Mm. So.
Challenge a couple. I mean,
it's, we have it's challenges.
Family
yeah.
and business. It's yeah, a lot going yeah, on. Yeah.
I feel like every like you can't avoid that. You yeah. know, but we're family, so we handle those challenges different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we care. Like, say, if there's a situation that comes up, you know, even business wise, we might care about it more because he has a vested interest in my career mm-hmm. that's deeper than. Other people involved.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So there's more emotion and there's more love though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's never any question about why he's saying what he's saying.
Yeah.
There's no, I don't have to think about what his ulterior motives are like I would have to think for somebody else. So yeah. it's like working with my dad. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying?
I mean, you can debate the pros and cons, whatever, but I feel like when it works, if you have a parent that's a manager and they care.
Yeah.
It's the best case scenario.
For sure.
The best case scenario.
Some of the best managers to me that I've worked with in the business as a whole were the parents. When right. I think of Janetta Patton, Usher's mom, yep. mm-hmm. Sonya Norwood, yep. Brandy's mom, mm-hmm. Matthew Knowles.
Matthew and Tina
Knowles. Yeah. 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 That, like they, yeah. they just yep. had a certain level of intentionality and yes. strategy and yes. specialization and Tony's work. Yes. Like, was, I mean, but they yeah. really had a full plan.
Yeah.
And shout out to, I forgot, Miss Pat, Miss Patricia Elliott, Missy's mom.
Yeah.
She's mm-hmm. also been mm-hmm. there from the very beginning and holding Missy's business down from every single side. So I just, like I said, just I've seen the excellence and just because it's hard to find great management.
It's really hard
it really
to
is.
Find.
Tony, what are you listening to now? Like, what's on your playlist?
Bruno Major.
Mm.
Y'all know Bruno Major? Mm-hmm. Dude, that dude's making music.
Mm.
Mm. I probably listen to every genre of music almost.
Same.
Like, so I listen to rock, I listen to like screamo, I listen to all type of stuff. Because I just find things that I can appreciate in it.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But what else do I listen to? I mean, I still listen to, you know, I listen to Nat a lot. Yeah, that's what I can think of right now. So.
Okay.
Hip hop turned 50, as you know, in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite hip hop song of all time?
Of all time.
International Players Anthem.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What would be your answer, Phil?
Of all time?
All time.
One of my favorites, this is one. Randomly, this is my favorite today. All About the Benjamins.
Okay.
LOX. Kim Big.
That's interesting because if I'm being honest, what I played recently in the same vein, Money, Power, Respect.
Ooh.
Interesting. Okay.
The Locks.
LOX. DMX.
DMX. Lil' Kim.
Mm.
Undeniable record.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm. What say you, Timon?
It's probably in that Bad Boy Biggie family.
That's crazy.
Get Money. Dream Mafia.
Wow. Little Kim again.
What was the
single? Kimberly Jones.
What was the single that came before that?
Players Anthem.
Players Anthem. Yeah. Yeah.
Grab you.
Yeah.
Grab you.
Sitting together. Yeah.
If you love.
That's so crazy because I was gonna say One More Chance.
Well, look at us. And the Bad Boy Crew today. Wow.
Look at y'all loving my hometown and what we produce.
Esther Roll.
Award.
I can feel him moving. I can feel him moving on the altar of my heart.
looking at my rolling.
It's about that time. Mm-hmm.
So we have this very important segment of our podcast here at We Sound Crazy called the Esther Roll Black Excellence Award. Every episode, we all nominate someone that we think should be highlighted and isn't.
I'll kick it off this week.
All right, go ahead.
So my nomination this week is an icon, fashion trailblazer, hip-hop queen, Kimberly Jones, Lil' Kim. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good one.
Lil' Kim.
Shalom. Damn.
I'll go next.
All right.
In the spirit of country music, in the spirit of black and brown people doing other things outside of what people expect of them,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Darius Rucker.
Oh, that's all right, Darius.
To see him transition so mm-hmm. seamlessly from Hootie and go into this crazy country career was just so dope to see. And I remember just, I mean, who didn't watch Hootie and the Blowfish on VH1 and MTV back in the day? So, yeah. Darius like Rucker for me this week.
I'm going to nominate, in the spirit of Atlanta, the production group Organized Noise.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great.
Because I was just about to say that.
How was I supposed to know that?
You can, y'all
can co-sign
sync.
It.
Y'all always
Now we just had a conversation.
But no, but I was listening to them actually last week as well. They're dope, man, in a lot of different ways, but there really is, they blend a lot of different genres in their music. It's hip hop, it's R&B, it's country, it's Southern soul, mm-hmm. it's all that stuff at one time. Outkast sound, TLC sound, mm-hmm. from here to literally the whole world, from Atlanta to the whole world, so Organized Noise. Sorry, Chuck. You can co-sign it.
No, I was gonna nominate the music guy, Ray Murray from Organized Noise, but it's kind of the same thing.
So Organized Noise.
Organized Noise, yeah.
Louis York votes for Organized Noise.
Organized.
Tony Evans Jr., your nomination this week for the Esther Roll Black Excellence Award is?
That's tough, man. I think my answer won't be a surprise because I've talked about him a bunch already, but Nat King Cole. But not for the sake of, like, because we all know he was great,
mm-hmm.
but when he was great is... It's the crazy part, too.
That's good.
That's good.
He was great in the 50s.
When he was great.
Yeah, man.
This is a tough one.
So we got Lil' Kim, Darius Rucker, Nat King Cole, and Organized Noise. What a range. There.
What a collabo.
So we vote majority rules. You can vote more than once on this round if you want, Tony. We'll kick it off with Lil' Kim, Kimberly Jones. Okay, four out of five. Tony's a hater. All right. Darius Rucker.
I think I misunderstood the rules.
Well, you can vote as many times as you want. Did you want to vote for Lil' Kim?
I'll vote for Lil' Kim, yeah.
Okay, so five out of five.
Five out of five.
I strike that from the record. Tony is not a hater.
Appreciate it. Make sure y'all get that.
All right, then we got you.
Darius Rucker.
Four for Darius.
For sure.
Chuck. Wow. Nat King Cole.
Yeah,
that. Organized Noise. You in Atlanta, you better vote.
I don't see how you can lose being nominated for this game.
You can?
Because the second round.
All right, so it's tied at Nat King Cole and Lil' Kim.
Right,
Nat
so King this Cole. Time.
You can only vote
you
one
only
time.
You only vote one time.
Oh, that's how you lose. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's how you lose.
That said, let's go to a vote.
All right, I'm gonna keep it real with my vote. Here we go.
Let's go Nat King Cole. All right, majority rules. Nat King Cole is our winner this week for the Esther Roll Black Excellence Award.
I mean, it's the king.
So you not voting for Nat is crazy.
That's good. New York.
What do you say?
New York.
I had to roll with the Queen Bee. Okay. Only because it's an impossible choice. But I felt like between the two of them, she's probably a little less celebrated. I don't know. It's two different eras.
I can see that.
Either way, we're good. Nat King Cole deserves. And we've been talking about him.
He's the guy, man.
And he invented AI, basically.
Yeah. So.
Now, real talk. This has been fun. We like to discover with everyone else who's up next and what they're listening to, what they're about, and what they're bringing to the table. You got a lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff going on. We Sound Crazy is everywhere online. We want to make sure thank everyone for the support, but also follow us. Let us know the questions you want to ask. Let us know the guests you want. Let us know what you're listening to so we can also listen to that too and put it on our playlist and everything that we got going on. That's at We Sound Crazy.
And WeSoundCrazy.com.
Mm-hmm.
Shout Everywhere. Out to our partners at Visit Music City. Thank you for your continued support.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
So when we wrap the episode up, right, our guest of honor, which is you, surprise. Mm-hmm.
Surprise, surprise.
we asked the guest to literally pick the song that we go out of the episode with. What best describes this conversation or your vibe?
Unforgettable.
Unforgettable.
I'm unforgettable and you're going to know it. Peace.
Amazing song. Until next week, y'all. Thank you, Tony Evans Jr. Thank
appreciate you.
You,
homie.
Peace. I appreciate y'all. Thank man. Y'all.
Unforgettable. Though near our bar.
We sound crazy.